welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Thursday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. My name is still Bob Arthurs, and I'm still Pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. And we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. We want to say thank you today to the folks of Jits Concrete. Paul, before you get out of here, what's the status on the fundraiser? What date is that?
Off on the 21st.
February the 21st is when the spring offering fundraiser takes place.
Right.
And if you have never supported WMIE before, we would invite you to do that. And the phone number is
632-1000.
And that would get you in touch with Paul. You can get in early before the phones start ringing like crazy and things like that. And so that would be greatly appreciated. I think I heard that the goal is something like $37,000 in this spring fundraiser. And so we would love for you to be a part of that. We also want to say thank you to the folks of Jits Concrete. They have been doing decades of excellent work in Brevard County with sidewalks and foundations and block work. And I recommend them to you very highly. They not only know what needs to be done, but they are very hard workers as well. You have to be. When you're dealing with concrete, you are dealing with time-sensitive material. Every second that goes by, things are changing, things are setting up. And so Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. Get you in touch with Greg. Tell him you heard about him on the Refresh radio program, that you've got a project, and Pastor Bob said that they were excellent at doing that, and I would greatly appreciate that. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. You know, not everybody that is good at what they do has a great work ethic. I remember a project, and there were people, I mean, they were only good for a few hours. And I was like, I wasn't used to that at all. I'm used to, okay, well, let's get after it and let's get this done. That's what I was used to. And not everybody has that same mindset. And so when you find people with a great work ethic, like the people at Jits Concrete, utilize them and benefit from their expertise and skill. We're going to go back to Psalm 19 today. I'm going to go back and read. If you catch the end of yesterday's program, you can catch that on the Listen on Demand feature at WMIE. In verse number 7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." So we spent the latter part of yesterday's program talking about the purpose and the benefit that God has for us in living out the Word of God. So it converts the soul, it makes wise the simple, it causes the heart to rejoice, and it lightens the eyes, it brightens the eyes. And, you know, I know a person one time, they weren't feeling well, but we really didn't know what was going on. And then we got a phone call and said, "There's something that has gone on with their eyes." And, you know, my wife is she works in the medical field. She's not clinical any longer, but she works in the medical field, and knew that that meant we needed to take steps right then and there. And because there was something that was indicated by the condition of the eyes that said something's not right. I've had a situation, and it's like, huh, that's kind of weird. And it was not anything that you could really necessarily see from looking at me face to face, but it was something that I could tell from my perspective. There's something not right. I don't know what it is, but I need to go and I need to make sure, because I want to see. And so the commandment of the Lord is pure, and it enlightens the eyes, or it brightens the eyes. And I will tell you, if you're carrying around a burden of sin, of shame, of failure, of disgrace, that the law of the Lord wants to come in and say, you know what, I want to make you a success for all of eternity. God has made available the blood of Jesus to wash away our sins. That sacrifice not only takes away the stain, but it also takes away the guilt, the shame. So you actually come away with a testimony instead of carrying around a burden all of the time. And instead of being a failure on a temporary scale, you get to see that you're a success on an eternal scale. So I encourage you to avail yourself of the commandment of the Lord. It says here, there in verse number 9, there are two things that are linked together, that it links the benefits of them later on. So it says the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And so there's that aspect. And the second is the partnership that brought us to this passage in the first place, and that is the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So the fear of the Lord is something that is meant to be pure, it's meant to be holy, it is meant to be to endure forever, and to understand that the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. In other words, there's nothing in them that is not going to be true and not going to be righteous. So it says they are to be desired more than gold, yea, than much fine gold. They're sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. So the fear of the Lord and the judgments of the Lord are designed to warn us. Okay? There were people that were titled watchmen in biblical days, and what their responsibility was to the city was they kept an eye on the horizon to see if there was an invading army that was on the way, whether or not there was an attack that was scheduled to come. And so the attitude that we have of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the reverence of God and awe of him, and the judgments of God, knowing that he's never going to make a mistake, that by them we are warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. So those are the benefits. Now let's look at that divine partnership that brought us here to Psalm 19 in the first place. It says, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous all together. Now, look at Revelation, the book of Revelation, and it is chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16, and it says this in verse number 4. Then the third angel poured out his bowls on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, you are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be. Because you have judged these things, they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them
blood and drink, for it is their just due. And I heard another from the altar saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. True and righteous are your judgments. So in Psalm 19, verse number 9, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. In Revelation chapter 16, verse number 7, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. It is testified in both the Old Testament and the New Testament that the judgments of God are not only true, but they are righteous. And it is, they are without without flaw. So they are not mostly true. You know, there was a movie that my kids watched growing up, and it was a pretty cute movie. It's called The Princess Bride, and I remember the one character, I think Billy Crystal was the guy who played it, and said, I didn't say he was dead, I said he was mostly dead. Well, God's commandments, his judgments, are not mostly true, they're altogether true. They are not mostly righteous, they are altogether righteous, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. So my wife and I were watching a preacher one day, and he made this statement. He said, I've run across a lot of people, and they say, I don't believe anything in the Old Testament unless I see it in the New Testament. And this preacher said, well, I'll tell you, he was just doing this to make a comparison. He wasn't making a blanket statement. He said, I don't trust the things in the New Testament until I see them in the Old Testament. And what he was saying is that in the Word of God, in the heart of God, the nature of God, you are going to find the same nature, the same perfection, the same absolute, without flaw, application of his judgment, his authority, and his power. You're going to find it in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. In fact, I would challenge you, if you look at a lot of the parables that Jesus told, a lot of the ministry that he did, that you find in the Gospels, you can go back and you can find similar applications in the Old Testament. What Jesus was doing was calling his society back into the relationship with God that God had always wanted. And so that's why you see so many Old Testament quotations in the New Testament. It was not doing away with the standard. It was actually raising the standard. And a lot of people in modern times think that there's just no commitment that's required on my part. You miss Psalm 19:9, or you miss Psalm 19 verses 7 through 11. That they're for our benefit. And so I've had people that said, well, I literally heard this, and it's like, what in the world? They told me this. They said, well, I don't want to be too holy. And I was like, is that even possible? Is that possible that we could be too holy? I don't believe it is. I think that when we realize the Word of God is the Word of God, and it's without flaw and it's without shortcoming, that we need to avail ourselves of that all together. Those two passages, again, were Psalm 19:9 and Revelation chapter 16, verse number 6. I want to take you to Psalm 45. This is a great passage here. Psalm 45. Psalm 45. And let's begin reading in verse number 1. This is written by the sons of Korah. It says, my heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O Mighty One, with your glory and your majesty. And in your majesty ride prosperously because of truth, humility, and righteousness. And your right hand shall teach you awesome things. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples fall under you. So let's look at verse number 4. And it says, and in your majesty, capital Y, this is a statement that is talking about the manifest presence of God. And in your majesty, ride prosperously because of truth and humility and righteousness. So when I was in school, I was in math class. I believe fourth grade, and we were studying the multiplication tables, and I was pretty good at math. And so we were working on these multiplication tables, and I had studied them, and I knew what they were, and I can still remember the teacher's name, and played baseball with her grandson, and I was like Horseshack from Welcome Back, Kotter. And she said, look, if you know the answer, I am not calling on you if you're going to be doing that thing and jumping up and down in your seat. You see, I wanted everybody to know I had the right answer. I had the right answer. But not only is truth partnered with righteousness, truth is also partnered with humility. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace. He gives favor to the humble. And so remember that God opposes pride in every atmosphere. He opposes pride outside of the church, and he opposes pride inside of the church. He opposes pride in your neighbor's life, and he opposes pride in your life. He opposes pride in my life. And he just has this amazing way of saying, oh, you think that's something to be proud of? Well, watch this. And bam, all of a sudden, you're humbled or humiliated. I prefer being humbled privately to being humiliated publicly. It's just a personal preference. So let's look at what it says here about this partnership between truth and humility and righteousness. What it says is that truth and humility and righteousness are the vehicle of his majesty. Now, here in the New King James Version, it says, and in your majesty ride prosperously. So there's a lot of different ways to get from point A to point B. In the summertime here in Brevard County, it's going to be hot. And so there are a lot of people and that have a lot of different ways you can walk. I used to do a lot more walking before the Refresh Radio program. I would walk to work. It's a 3 mile walk, almost exactly. Three mile walk. And then I'd walk home. But with everything that goes on, there's so many errands to run. There's so many people to see, programs to do and things like that, that walking to work is not a good vehicle for me. And so I've got a vehicle. And, you know, vehicles to me are tools. They are designed to get me from point A to point B. But I will tell you that having a vehicle with air conditioning is much better in Florida than having a vehicle without air conditioning. Having a vehicle that doesn't require repair very frequently is better than having a vehicle that requires repairs frequently. Having a vehicle that's paid for
is better than having a vehicle that's not paid for. Those are all things that, you know, make different qualities of the vehicle. Every once in a while, I see people who live in a completely different socioeconomic bracket than I do. And, you know, they drive these cars that are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars in some cases. I was like, why would you want to put millions of dollars into a car that somebody could bang into at the grocery store? I just don't get it. But here's the thing that normally is the reason why those type of cars make headlines is sometimes there's a person that doesn't have the experience to be able to drive that type of high performance vehicle, or there's a person that's taking it on a test drive or whatever, and for some reason the vehicle outperforms their driving ability and they end up having a catastrophic crash. And I will tell you that the value of that vehicle is going to go down once it's been in a wreck. It's just going to go down. I want you to know that God is capable of riding the vehicle of righteousness, of truth, and humility. It's not the vehicle that outperforms God. God is the one who is perfectly equipped to ride in that vehicle. So what's it say there? And in your majesty, ride prosperously. That word means to ride triumphantly or victoriously, ride in a very successful manner. And so whenever we operate with those three principles, righteousness, truth, and humility, the presence of God is going to come. He's going to come in a victorious manner and a triumphant manner. My mother's favorite song was Victory in Jesus. Several years ago, I was preaching, and I realized that as believers, that God has made a judicial decree. He has sentenced believers to victory. He sentenced us to be triumphant over all the works of the enemy. He gives us the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. And so the presence of, when you and I live in truth and live in humility and live in righteousness, I want to create an expectation for you. There, for the past 2 years, we've been living, and it's like, I wonder when the end of COVID is going to come. Now it's kind of given way. I wonder if the end of COVID is going to come. Well, I want to change your perspective just a little bit. And I want to say, I believe that the presence of God is going to come. I believe that God is going to manifest himself. I believe that he wants to dwell in the midst of his people. I believe he wants to be the focal point of the community. And we need to make sure that we prepare the highway for him to be able to come suddenly. And part of that preparation is to make sure that truth and humility and righteousness can navigate the roads that God wants, or that God will use to come into this community. So anyway, that's Psalm 45, verse number 4. Let's go over to, there's one more note there. And that is where it says, because of truth, humility, and righteousness. There are other translations that put it this way, that he rides prosperously in the cause of truth, humility, and righteousness. And he comes defending truth and humility and righteousness.
So those are two alternative meanings there, where he rides prosperously because of truth, humility, and righteousness, or he is defending the cause of those. Either way, you and I, we need to make sure that those are priorities in our life. Let's look at Psalm 111. Psalm 111. And let's look at verse number 7. It says, "The works of his hand are verity and justice. All his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and are done in truth and righteousness. He has sent redemption to his people, and he has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever." So in verse number 8, it says, "These stand fast forever and are done in truth and uprightness." Verse number 7 tells us what those are, and that is the works of God's hands are done in truth and righteousness. There are a lot of people that operate, "Well, I'll tell you the truth if I have to. I'll do the right thing if it's convenient." But here it says that the works of God's hands are both done in truth and righteousness. So if I want him working, I need to create a suitable environment for him to work in. So the vehicle that he rides in comes because of truth and humility and righteousness. He's going to defend the cause of truth, humility, and righteousness. And everything that he does is going to be done in truth and righteousness. So we talked earlier out of Psalm 25:10 that everything that God does is done in truth and mercy. But I will also tell you this, the things that he puts his hands to are also done in truth and righteousness. So the point of this is twofold. One is to get us to see the things that are necessary so that God can do in our community the things that God wants to do. And the second is, if that's the way that God operates, then that's the way that we need to operate. We can't be using deceptive means. That's the world's tactics. Let's do what God does. Let's operate in truth and righteousness and mercy and humility. See you next time, right here on
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Unto Jesus be all glory.